Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. My name is Claire Chin, Head of Investor Relations at Axiata Group Berhad. Thank you for standing by and welcome to Axiata's special briefing on the making of a Malaysian digital telco champion. Today we have with us Dato' Izzaddin Idris, Axiata Group CEO, and Vivek Sood, Axiata Group CFO. There'll be a short presentation by Dato', followed by a Q&A session. Lastly, two housekeeping matters. You will be on mute throughout the presentation. Also note that the call duration will be a maximum of 60 minutes. Without further ado, I hand over the conference over to Dato' Izzaddin.
Thank you, Claire. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for hanging on there to wait for this this session. By now, you would have read in the papers and the online news and so on about the announcement we made earlier today. We, as in Axiata and Telenor, of combining the two businesses of DG and Celcom to create a Malaysian digital telco champion. So if you don't mind, I'll skim through the presentation deck because it contains substantially a lot of the information that you would have gleaned over from the media press release, the media release, and perhaps, you know, to some conversations you may already have. But feel free to refer to those slides in case in case you wish to. I rather spend the time with the Q&As that you may have for me and my team here. So again, the session today is just giving a heads up as to the understanding or what Telenor and Axiata has reached. Essentially, yeah, we have signed a non-binding term sheet to reflect the discussions and negotiations thus far. Why it's non-binding is because the counterparty to this deal will be DG, and the board of DG will need to convene in subsequent weeks to consider the deal, the structure, and so on. Insofar as Telenor, the major shareholder, 49% shareholder of DG, they've come to an agreement with Axiata, and we hope that the DG board has no, how shall we say, different views from the understanding that Telenor and Axiata has reached. So that's one aspect of the deal, and we hope to execute the definitive agreements sometime in 4 to 6 weeks time period, and subsequently to that make the submissions to the regulators and convene the shareholders meeting, and hope to close this by year. And I have a slide on the timeline just so that we can put things in perspective. But very quickly, this is in line with our Axiata 5.0 vision to create next generation digital champion. I presented this in our investor day in December, so I won't belabor the point. And of course, you've seen this slide several times over about our 10 key focus areas, and on number 9 is actually industry consolidation. We have looked at Indonesia, and as you all would have read, Indosat and Hutch is talking to each other. Hopefully, they'll come out with their terms by month end. But in the Malaysian market, we have seized the opportunity to take the lead in the industry consolidation. We believe that this is necessary, and the regulator feels very positive about this deal. And of course, there are regulatory challenges, I won't say challenges, hurdles that we need to cross, but I'm rather optimistic that we can address all those concerns that the regulator may have in this deal. So the deal is through a merger of Celcom and DG. The actual mechanics of the transaction has not been revealed just yet. And the reason is, again, we need to present this to, or rather Telenor needs to present this to the DG board. There are many ways of structuring the mechanism, but what is essential is that both parties have agreed that each of us, Axiata and Telenor, will have 38% each in the MergeCo. Now, the MergeCo will be known as Celcom DG Berhad. In terms of governance, just so that, you know, just to complete this this slide, Axiata will nominate 3 directors to the board of Celcom DG Berhad, MergeCo. Telenor will nominate 3 directors to the board of MergeCo, and the board of MergeCo will appoint 3 independent non-executive directors. Now, amongst the three nominees of Axiata, Axiata has the right to appoint the chairman. So the board yesterday has decided to put the task on myself. Likewise, Telenor has put the task of the merged entity on the shoulders of Mr. Jürgen Rostrup. He is currently an EVP and the head of Telenor Asia. And we have been the two counterparties in leading these discussions and negotiations over the recent months and weeks and months. Yeah. Now, at the same time, Axiata has the right to appoint the CEO, And the Telenor has the right to appoint the deputy CEO. And likewise, the board of Axiata has nominated Idham to take the role, and Telenor has appointed Alvin Murthy as the deputy CEO. And I think one thing we need to acknowledge here is that the knowledge that the two individuals have of the businesses of Digi and Celcom, I think that's very, very important. I strongly believe the two are able to work together. The scope, the broad scope of the deputy CEO has been agreed, largely to focus on operations, which means sales and marketing, network operations, and so on. Yeah. Whereas Idham will take care of the other, if you like, functions of regulatory measurement, risk and compliance, finance, HR, and so on. But at the end of the day, the message to the two individuals is this is going to be one team and they need to work together. And knowing the two individuals, I believe this is a great combination of for the merged entity in months to come. Because as we all know, in any merger exercise, the big challenge is actually making sure that we try to complete this as fast as possible because of the market share that we might that the competition might nibble from. So the whole idea of this exercise is to actually create an entity with the market share of both combined. But the last thing we don't want to happen is actually the team taking their eyes off the ball. So that's a one important aspect. And as we mentioned here, both brands will continue as is. As you know, we have experience in Indonesia and Bangladesh to keep the two brands after we acquire those companies, respective companies. But there's no, we'll assess that effectiveness, if you like, of maintaining two brands in years to come. And that's something for management of MergeCo to consider and present to the board of MergeCo. Now, this is a simple, sketch of the shareholding structure of the MergeCo. You can see on the right-hand side, Telenor and Axiata will own 33.1% of MergeCo, MergeCo being Celcom Digi Berhad. EPF, PNB, and KWAP will have those approximately shareholdings in Celcom Digi Berhad. The point that we would like to capture here is on the second bullet point. Axiata, together with the Malaysian institutional funds, will own more than 51% of Celcom Digi Berhad. And of course, as I've said, another point that I wish to also to record here. The intention is for Telenor and Axiata to enter into a shareholders agreement. So we will jointly control, jointly own 66.2%, and the shareholders agreement will regulate, if you like, yeah, the partnership that we have decided to establish between Telenor and Axiata. Yeah. In consideration as well, the last bullet point on this slide, Axiata will receive cash of approximately 2 billion. Now, that's part of the transaction structure that we have come up with. And again, this is not a forum just set for me. I'm not at liberty to discuss the actual transaction specifics, the ways of crafting the merged entity. It could be by way of a new co, SPV, and so on. It could be using Digi, it could be using Celcom to acquire. But whatever it is, MergeCo will remain listed on Bursa Malaysia. And we believe that MergeCo will be amongst the top 5 market capitalization on Bursa Malaysia in terms of market capitalization. I think so far as the rationale is concerned, I think I don't need to belabor this point as well in this particular forum. Of course, we plan to support My Digital Aspirations. This is a digital economy blueprint that the government has announced. We believe the pro forma financial capacity of the merged entity will be creating a commercially stronger, more resilient MergeCo. And I think more importantly, to restore the long-term sustainability in the industry. Yeah, we all know the challenges of the industry. Again, not something I wish to belabor. And we believe that we'll be able to derive significant value creation from realization of synergies. Now, I know synergies is often used as a justification for any merger exercise. We have looked at the numbers, although we have not sharpened our pencils, so to speak. That's because of the time period that's limited. And again, we do not wish to involve too many people in the early work leading to today. And I dare say that we've been able to keep this announcement pretty tight. So the next few weeks will involve getting the consultants to look at the synergies between two organizations. The belief on both sides, Axiata and Telenor, is that the synergies will be significant, notwithstanding the 5G SPV announcement that the government has made. Yeah, so that's another important takeaway. Yeah, we believe that the synergies are still substantial by combining the two businesses, and of course, the benefits to the broader Malaysian economy. Yeah, we will be the largest tech stock and potentially top five in Bursa Malaysia. We believe that by way of the efficiencies and combining the two organizations, there'll be reduced imports and therefore less capital outflow in years to come. I think in terms of supporting my digital aspirations, more importantly, if I can draw your attention to the right-hand side of this slide, in terms of spectrum efficiency, we've made it clear to the Multimedia Commission that we would want to retain the spectrum that the two organizations currently hold, simply because of the desire to improve the quality of service we provide to the customers. And of course, there's as we go along, we believe that the 4G network is still relevant for the next 4 years, 5 years before the ecosystem for the 5G network rollout is mature. Yeah, so that's another aspect of the 5G rollout. Now, we're not saying that 5G is no good. All we're saying is for 5G to mature, there is a need for the ecosystem to develop, whether it's handset, use cases, and so on. So that's an important aspect of the approach that we're taking in combining the two businesses. Of course, it will give the combined entity, the merge code, to give greater scale to accelerate 5G penetration in the consumer segment. What we plan to do is create an innovation center that will be able to draw on the Axiata ecosystem as well as the Telenor ecosystem so that we bring the best brains to develop 5G use cases. And that's the good news, because the government is going to spend money on creating 5G network, so we can focus on the innovation, development of use cases, IoT applications, and so on. Yeah. So the joint innovation of 5G features for augmented reality and all that can be done together between the two organizations. So MergeCo will be able to draw on the resources of Axiata as well as Telenor. And of course, with MergeCo, we'll be able to innovate for the benefit of the SME and enterprise segments. Some sort of broad numbers on the financials. You can see the pro forma revenue based on the financial year 2020 results. Pro forma revenue of 12.4 billion, profit of about 1.9 billion combined before synergies. This is all just simply adding across the two financials of the two companies. Yeah, and free cash flow of about 3.9 billion. We believe that this merger will not create a clear market leader. Yes, the combined consumer subscriber base of the two entities is about 19.1 million. It's not as if it's going to be significantly very different from the third operator, but we believe it will create a healthy market competition. The competition will remain healthy. And MergeCo will bring a credible converged player. It will be a very credible converged player in years to come. And as I've said, scale will increase the ability for MergeCo to invest in network quality in face of growing demand. Yeah. And the other point is the brands to continue post-merger, and consumers will still have a choice. We believe there is not a significant overlap between the customer segments that Digi and Celcom currently serve. A slide that should be common or familiar to all of you. I won't go in details here. Yeah, it's again about restoring long-term sustainability to the industry. I think it goes without saying, in any markets, a financially weak mobile operator is not good for consumers because we can't invest. Yeah, that's something that we keep on making sure in our engagements with the regulators, not just in Malaysia, but also in Bangladesh, Cambodia, Sri Lanka, and even Indonesia. Unfortunately, some countries choose to adopt an auction approach where you need to pay substantially for spectrum. In our case, the Malaysian government has decided that they will do the network, and that means savings of a lot of capex in terms of 5G rollout. In terms of the value creation opportunities, this is something that we have looked at over the last couple of recent weeks to be able to harness the synergies within the two organizations. As I've said, today we're not quite prepared to share those numbers. Yeah, but the good news is we had that experience in 2019 to know that those numbers are significantly and substantial for both organizations to benefit from. For the broader Malaysian economy, as mentioned just now, reduced imports, largest tech stock amongst top five in Bursa Malaysia, and it will be a platform for local talent, supplier, and startup community And we will continue to support local distributors and suppliers. All that will continue under MergeCo. In terms of timeline, this is a timeline that the team has drawn up. If you ask me, I think there's a few processes that can be shortened. For example, the definitive agreements are quite ready. There's a due diligence exercise that will happen. And the conditions to be met, as I've said, shareholders' approval, regulators. We need to go to the Securities Commission to get a whitewash exemption. And of course, throughout the next couple of months will be the planning that needs to take place. I think the challenge with any merger is to make sure that both entities continue its operations as usual, business as usual on both sides. They will remain competitors, you know, for the months to come. But of course, at the back of their minds is this merger that will happen at some stage a few months down the road. Yep. In terms of Axiata's the impact on Axiata based on 2020 results and looking at the pro forma, what will happen as a result of the deconsolidation of Celcom? You can see the normalized PATAMI reducing from 0.9 to 0.7. Gross debt EBITDA will be better at 2.4 as opposed to 2.6. Yeah, because the debts at Celcom will be deconsolidated. And of course, from a revenue point of view, that will also be deconsolidated from Axiata Group results. Yeah, in terms of the financial impact from the merger pre-synergies, on the left-hand side, I think you recall this slide that we presented in the December Investor Day. Yeah, all the initiatives, the levers, if you like, to be able to achieve the aspiration of at least 20 cents dividends per share by 2024. And of course, post-proposed merger, the aspiration, all these numbers, the metrics remain, is maintained, if you like. So we believe this is in line of our strategy to be a higher dividend payout investor proposition, and at the same time, to be able to create an entity that will position itself for the future. Yeah, this is not about this year's results or next year's results. This is about preparing for the future. And fortunately, this is the same vision and same expectations of Telenor vis-a-vis the Malaysian market. Yeah, so that's the if you like, the intersection between the two organizations. And that's why we've decided to reconvene and look at the Malaysian market. And as a result, that's where we are here today. Yeah. You've seen this slide before. Again, that's a historical aspect of dividends. I mean, we all know DG pays, adopts 100% dividend payout ratio. You know, so it's not a question of the shareholding of the Malaysian operations, 100% to 33.1. It is about what the 33.1% will bring in the years to come. So we believe that from the combined businesses, the merged operations, and even synergies and so on, it will be able to generate far better dividend flow for Axiata in years to come. Just a important notice, as I've said, we have, you know, been in discussions, so we reached an advanced stage. We needed to make this announcement today so that we don't have to manage any leakages of this news. I'm happy, from an internal perspective that the team has said been, you know, we've been able to keep this rather tight, so far as we're concerned, the term sheet that we've signed, the non-binding term sheet we've signed, is a pretty extensive term sheet. And for all intents and purposes, we're moving ahead to try and complete this as soon as we can. So thank you for your attention. And let's do questions, Claire.
Yes, thank you, Dr. So just a gentle reminder for those of you on the call, there will be two options for you to ask your questions. Firstly is to ask your question verbally. If you can look at the taskbar at the bottom, you can click raise your hand. Wait till your name is called out. Don't forget to unmute your line. Ask your question and, of course, don't forget to mute your line again. The second option is to type your question in the chat box at the bottom and I will read out the question and either Dato or Vivek will take the questions. I do see some hands raised. First in the queue is Ranjan from JP Morgan. Ranjan, please unmute your line and ask your question. Thank you.
Hi, Ranjan.
Ranjan, your line is still muted.
Hi, can you hear me now? Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, Ranjan, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for the call. Two questions. Firstly, if you can remind us why the previous merger did not go through and what gives you the confidence that this will happen now. And secondly, you have certain obligations in rolling out the network under Jandela. How does that change after merger? Thank you.
One is the more historical. I think it's the same question that I had to address during the press conference earlier today. I think let's look ahead. There were several challenges because it involves many jurisdictions. The one thing I'm confident, we are focused on the Malaysian operations. Now, we have not, just before you ask the leading question, or you know, in case this is not a leading question, Ranjan, there is no discussions of anything outside Malaysia. Yeah, we've been asked that question several times just now, but we are very focused on getting this done. I think the challenges or the hurdles that we needed to cross was, if you like, multiplied because of the various jurisdictions that we were involved in. Yeah, insofar as the gender or rollout obligations, that's something we will discuss with the regulator. I think in terms of capacity or ability, we should be able to do it better because it's one entity doing the same. We don't need to duplicate, if you like, yeah, the rollout obligations, because separately, each entity will have the same, well, similar rollout obligations, but combined, yeah, there's only one rollout obligations, as it were. So we need to also agree on the timing of the cutoff and so on, yeah, because we need to plan this rather carefully.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ranjit.
Thank you. So we'll move on to the next person, Fong from CIMB. Please unmute your line.
Hi, Fong.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the call and congrats, Dato, on striking a deal on the merger. A couple of questions from me. Firstly, I wanted to ask about the merger synergy. So I know that you mentioned just now you're not quantifying it for now, but would it be sensible to think that it would be largely in line with the 7 to 9 billion ringgit that was guided previously in 2019? Or are there any reasons to think that it might be lower or higher this time? That's my first question. Mm-hmm. My second question is, you're going to be receiving 2 billion ringgit of cash, right, from DG and also from Telenor. How will you utilize those proceeds? And my third question is with regards to MergeCo. You will have 33.1% stake. So will it be treated as a subsidiary or an associate?
First cut, before engaging with the auditors, it'll be an associate. Yeah, it'll be an associate for both ourselves as well as Telenor. To your question on the 2 billion cash, I know in the early session with my CEOs and CXOs, everyone putting up their hands already. So Vivek is not short of requests from the opcos in terms of their rollout obligations. But the good news is it gives us the firepower to look at the other markets that we're in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of the synergies, that's all.
Oh, the synergies. The previous number was 7 to 9, but I think the previous number also looked at network, sort of savings from networks, synergies from network. So I'm a bit wary to put a number just right now, simply because we need to take into consideration the, if you like, impact of the, Digital National Berhad, the 5G SPV have. In terms of we would have otherwise spent two separate networks, but instead now we don't even have to spend on that network. Yeah. So in a sense, there's savings, but in a sense, there is no synergy to derive from spending on one as opposed to two networks. You know what I mean? So it's a bit tricky to pin a number. Yeah. Whether it's the lower end of that range or the higher end of that range. But what I dare say, what I can say, and this is something that I would like to see and be committed to, is, like in any exercise of this nature, one would expect synergies. Yeah. Now, we like to think that from a people point of view, that's not going to be significant. But I think from, we still have to buy equipment and spend on IT systems and so on. There's a fair bit of synergies there as well. Yeah, so we like to think that there will be significant synergies that, and in actual fact, both Telenor and ourselves relooked at the possibility of merging after the announcement of the 5G SPV, and we both came to the same conclusion. So in a way, it's an affirmation of each other's sort of hypothesis now, of the synergies that one could derive from this exercise. Yeah?
Understood, understood. Can I just throw in one additional question with regards to the mechanism for the merger, right? So you're going to be injecting Celcom into Digi.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Okay, but is the deal going to be with Celcom on a lock, stock, barrel basis, meaning to say, you know, including its current debt in cash or on a debt-free basis? Yeah.
Yeah, it will be on a lock, stock, barrel basis. Now, there's many ways to skin the cat, so to speak. It could be a transfer of assets and liabilities. It could be the creation of SPV to buy the two businesses. It could be just simplistically DG acquiring Celcom. I mean, that's the simplest sort of mechanism. But what we're not prepared to do, why we're not prepared to disclose that just yet, is that I think we ought to give the, latitude, for lack of a better word, to the board of DG to consider this and to decide that that's the best transaction structure, as it were, is the one that we have in mind. So there are a few options to consider. We need to take into consideration tax impact, stamp duty implications, and so on. But suffice to say, by the time we sign the definitive agreements, the transaction structure will be much clearer to everyone. I mean, that's the point of where we have a lot of clarity. And again, before this, we needed to keep this very tight. So we didn't want to involve too many consultants, the tax consultants, and so on. So we kept it very tight to make sure that, this doesn't leak, for whatever reason, for good reason, rather.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much, Dato.
No worries, Fong.
Thanks, Fong. Okay, we'll move on to the third question from Alex M. Alex, please go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Dato. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I was at Telenor's teleconference just now, and I asked them this question, actually. You have 33.1% both of you, so there's a 34% other shareholders, right?
Yeah.
And she mentioned, actually, that, she mentioned that it will be Digi buying over Celcom, all right? I mean, I know you guys are still working on at that. But I'm looking now at your valuations that you are giving to Celcom as opposed to DG. If DG is 33.1% and the other balance are
Telenor is 6.1%.
And the balance DG's minority shareholders, that would mean that the equity valuation for DG is almost double Celcom. Am I reading that correctly? Or is there something I'm missing?
No, not quite double.
Because you have to adjust the 2 billion, right? Which is the cash.
Yeah, you have to add in the 2 billion, don't forget.
Yeah, even then, there is almost 80% more DG compared to Celcom. Yeah, even after I remove the 2 billion. So I think that is, doesn't that seem like you're undervaluing Celcom? Because your revenue is almost the same between the two of you.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's not just revenue. We need to look at all other metrics as well. Yeah. So it's not one metric. The point is, it's not just one metric looking at revenue. Yeah. Balance sheet is different. Customer base is different. And, what we have done in terms of our fiber network and so on. So it's a combination of a few factors, not just looking at the revenue base or the profitability or the EBITDA number for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I can comment on that, I think it's all the metrics and also compare with what is the some of the parts assigned by the analysts. I think that needs to be looked at to arrive at the relative valuation. Of the two companies.
Okay. So am I roughly around that valuation where DG is like almost 70% more than Celcom Axiata? Is that the kind of valuation metrics you're working at and you are comfortable with that?
I don't know. Vivek, do you want to comment on that?
No, I mean, I think, I mean, look at it, you know, what's the free cash flow of BG compared to Celcom? It's around 70% higher, right? If you go to the EBITDA, that's around 50% higher than what is there for. So you have to look at all the metrics, right, to arrive at the valuations and then the fact that BG is a listed company, so it's more available valuations for that company, right?
I mean, broadly, I'll answer your question, Alex. It's not as high as 70%, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The other question is, I think it was asked in the earlier merger, are the technologies for both Celcom and Digi, are they able to work together? I mean, are you able to speak together or, you know, or is there a potential, you know, you whatever synergies you want to do in terms of your procurement, your in terms of your network savings, I mean, it has to be something that is compatible to each other. So generally, in terms of the technology involved, you know, are they, how much, basically, we are trying to work at is how much savings can you really make, get out of it?
No, the difference is in the past, Celcom has benefited from the procurement that we do at Axiata level. Now, one thing I will acknowledge is Telenor has a very robust procurement process through their procurement center. We believe that that will also bring benefit to Celcom. And the good news is Telenor has agreed for Axiata procurement center to work with them to enjoy the same price book. Yep. So there'll be some savings, not just for MergeCo, but also for the Axiata universe, you know, so to speak. In terms of equipment, their network in Malaysia is largely ZTE equipment, but, you know, the way this technology these days, it's pretty universal, if I can use that word. Yeah. In fact, more and more you see equipment being converted. It's no longer hardware, it's a lot of software that's being deployed. So, again, it's something that we have also taken into consideration. Vivek, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to add, look, they have ZTE as their main vendor or the only vendor. We have Huawei and Ericsson. Now, correct. How the synergies will come is we will have to break the clusters region by a particular technology. So you take out the equipment from that technology and put into the areas where you have another vendor which is there, and then you deploy the ZTE equipment there, for example. So that, I think that's the way the whole synergy will come in. And second thing, I think important to realize that a lot of these equipments, while would be surplus, but would be utilized for the capacity enhancement, which would be required, as you know, data will continue to grow. In fact, with the 5G SPV, it even becomes more important for us, not necessarily required to go to the extent of modernization for 5G, but being able to redeploy for giving a much better experience on the LTE.
And as I said to Vivek's point about how 4G is still relevant, we believe, we both believe, Telenor and Axiata, we know that 4G will still be relevant the next 4 or 5 years. So if you think about the surplus equipment, as Vivek alluded to, you know, it can easily be redeployed to make sure that the customer experience, quality of service is maintained. Yeah, because with data traffic going skyrocketing, you know, doubling, tripling, in terms of volume, it's something that we would know will be able to benefit. And that would be difficult to quantify, yeah, Vivek, in terms of synergy?
Yeah.
But good issues or questions that you're raising, Alex. Very good questions.
Thanks. One last question is regarding your spectrum. In Indonesia, you guys have to give up certain spectrum because when you merge between Axis and XL. Would this be a potential problem later for Malaysian regulators?
Now, what I'm told, I've not looked at the specific provisions, and Vivek, correct me if I'm wrong, there are no provisions in the CMA for return of spectrum under these sort of circumstances. In my engagements in the past, informal engagements rather, with the MCMC, we talked about industry consolidation, and we sort of floated the idea, if there was consolidation, what are the views in terms of spectrum ownership? And the point is here, we want to try to keep the spectrum owned so that we can improve on the quality of service that we give to the customer. So at the end of the day, what's important is the quality of service to the customers, which I'm sure MCMC is also mindful of. Yeah, given the volume of traffic that's going up. So I think the short answer is we don't see that as a hindrance or a burden or a hurdle that we need to cross. But, you know, we certainly will engage with the MCMC to try to make sure we keep the spectrum that both companies own.
Okay.
Or allocated.
Okay, great. Wonderful. And one final question, if I just squeeze in, is regarding the telco towers. I mean, I understand... Telkom itself doesn't have very much because it's under EDOTCO, while Digi has its own. So would that, if let's say this deal goes through, would that potentially be a time when you will probably hive it off to EDOTCO? Or I'm wondering how is the thought process behind that?
So to start with, we are very clear in terms of the arm's length nature that any transaction between EDOTCO and Celcom, as well as EDOTCO and MergeCo, that's going to take place in time to come. Now, there will be a rationalization of towers because quite glaringly obvious that you don't need, the proximity. If two towers are in the same proximity, you don't need the two towers. So that's a massive exercise that we will undertake. But at the same time, we're confident that there will be a balance of towers that MergeCo still owns despite the rationalization. Now, whether or not that gets transferred to or gets sold or disposed of to EDOTCO, I think that's a bridge we'll have to cross in time to come. But the point to make also is EDOTCO needs to also be able to be effective and competitive in its services it renders to MergeCo. Yeah. So, and of course, moving forward, MergeCo will look at whether it's going to procure differently from what Celcom has been doing, or look at EDOTCO as a continuing, tower services provider. Yeah. So potentially there is that chance, but let's look, let's work on the rationalization first. We'll be able to give more clarity, weeks, months down the road.
I mean, I'll just add that the intention is all the contracts will move to MergeCo, whether it is with the state-backed companies or EDOTCO, all of them will move to the MergeCo, and then MergeCo will have to honor all those contracts. So if there is going to be, restructuring of the towers or opportunity to move to EDOTCO, whatever is the best option available is what would be worked on.
Yeah, because one has to look at the cost of decommissioning of a DG tower as opposed to decommissioning an EDOTCO tower, because decommissioning EDOTCO tower will also involve penalties because the contract gets terminated, right? So the MergeCo management will have to look at this very, very carefully and make that decision.
Okay, that's Thanks, Alex. If you have further questions, maybe you come back later. I think there's others on the queue. Okay. I think next in the queue is Azam from EPF. Azam, can please unmute your line and ask your question.
Okay. Hi. Hello, Claire. Hello, Dato. Is that it?
And hi.
I just like to question a bit more on the basis of the 2 billion equalization cash. I think you sort of put some color in terms of how you value the between the two. Can you provide more color as to the basis of this determination of the cash, and whether there is any room for adjustment to this as the negotiation go along, and how much room do you allow for? And no.
On Azam.
My second point is, what are the key terms in the term sheet? So is there any areas or where Telenor will have a say on any areas of the MergeCo, for example, capital management or procurement areas and all that where
these
are already determined in the key term sheets right now. Thanks. Sure. That's all. Thank you.
The term sheet covers the structure as well as some shareholder matters because it was important for us and Telenor to have an understanding how this merge co is going to be managed and run. Yeah. So for all intent purposes, it will be run by the board. There'll be representatives, as I've mentioned, from Axiata as well as Telenor. So in the shareholders agreement, there will be the usual reserve matters. Now, all of this will be disclosed in the circular later on to shareholders. I'll be very, very transparent about it. Insofar as the terms are concerned, if there was any adjustment, it would be very, very minor. So largely substantive, that's it. 33.1 plus 2 billion cash. Actually, the number is 1.991 billion now. Yeah. So that is meant to balance, if you like, the shareholding structure to the two shareholders now. Yeah. As I said, I rather keep that first because we need to make sure that the board of DG accepts the terms that the shareholder has negotiated with us now.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Azam.
Thanks, Azam. Next in line is Isaac from Afin Huang.
Hi, Isaac.
Hi, good evening. I have a question on the competitions. How should we view competitions on the market or the strategy per se? Strategy going ahead, but there are two brands under the same.
Sorry, Isaac. You are rather choppy. So connection is not good. Do you want to try and repeat that? You're talking about something.
Sure. It's just a branding strategy for the two brands. I understand that you want to keep both the DG as a self-corp brand. And how would this affect the competitions and the marketing?
Well, as I say, if we look at across the divide between DG and Celcom, the customer base are different. There are some common, if you like, battlegrounds, as it were. So what Telenor and Axiata has decided that we will leave it to the management to decide if at all they're going to harmonize the brands, the sales and marketing strategy in the various regions. Yeah. So it's a bit premature to discuss branding strategy. Yeah. For the time being. But the challenge for the team, which is more imminent, is trying to make sure we keep the market share of the two brands. Yeah. Because otherwise, a lot of benefits from combining the two businesses will go down the drain. Yeah. So I know I'm not answering the question. In fact, I'm unable to answer the question because I'd like to leave that aspect of the operations to the management of MergeCo.
All right. I mean, understood, and thank you. That's my only question.
Thanks, Isaac.
Thanks, Isaac. Okay, I think maybe we move on to the chat. There are a few questions basically on the 2 billion ringgit that we're going to be getting in cash. What is the expected proceed utilization? Is it going to be paying down debts? Is it going to be for special dividends? And will Axiata continue its gross debt to EBITDA ratio of less than 2.5?
I'll leave the privilege to the group CFO to, because I know Vivek is smiling. So Vivek is not here in this conference room. So Vivek, you want to take that?
Yeah, thanks, Dato. I think, we haven't decided what we're going to do with the 2 billion which we get. But if you look at the priorities for us, there is still growth opportunities in some of the markets, and we will continue to look at investment in those markets coming out of this, the 2 billion which we have. We have a fairly decent balance sheet with a significant amount of cash on the balance sheet. I mean, at the end of last year, we had 7.2 billion. So if I exclude 1.4 billion, which was sitting in Celcom, we still have a decent around 5.8 billion of cash available as a company. So the cash position is strong. And with this 2 billion coming in, I think we have an opportunity to double up our investments in growth markets. And that's probably the first objective of that. But if we can't find the right opportunity, which is giving right returns, then we'd probably pay down some of the debt in some of the markets where we have. So I think those were the two priorities in my view to start with.
Yeah. A bit on the debt structure, you know, with the bond issue we did in August last year, it's a bit of a challenge to, because these bonds, the maturity profile of Axiata borrowings, group borrowings has improved. So we don't want to incur any penalties or prepayment, early prepayment penalties on paying down debts. That's always a challenge. Yeah. So I think we'll be able to address that in quarters to come, Vivek, when we look at the profile.
And I think the pricing at which we borrowed that money, I think it would be crazy to actually pay off that debt. The returns we can get with that in money being invested in growth opportunities would be much higher.
Yep. So that answers your question.
Yeah. Okay. I think following on a few more questions on money matters, so to speak. There's a question on pro forma EBITDA on slide 14. Is that the EBITDA of Axiata excluding Celcom plus proportional EBITDA of merged entity, i.e. the 33.1% stake? So they need an explanation on how we got that.
Yeah, so just to be clear, because we will deconsolidate Celcom, we do not consolidate for this purpose either the debt or EBITDA of the merged company. So this is all excluding any debt or EBITDA or share of debt or EBITDA of the merged company. So the 2.6 is based on as is 2020. 2.4 would be if we deconsolidate the Celcom, which Celcom has around gross debt to EBITDA of close to 3. So this is the impact coming out of that. And we haven't factored fully the 2 billion which comes in because that will be mostly in form of cash.
Okay. There is a question, Vivek, on significant goodwill arising from this exercise in the merged co balance sheet. Would you expect that?
Goodwill in the MergeCo balance sheet, I don't think so, because what we would be doing is we would be valuing the Celcom at a particular value. So if any, there would be significant gain coming in Axiata books. But correct. I don't see a big goodwill, because then this would be included in the as cost of investment in the merge core. So if any, there would be a gain would come based on the value compared to our book value of Axiata investment in Celcom.
Okay. That's a question, follow-up on dividends. Is there a pre-agreed dividend payout for merge core?
Right now, there isn't. But what we have agreed is we will develop the business plan of MergeCo, and from that we will agree on the dividend payout ratio for MergeCo and that will be endorsed or approved by the board of MergeCo. Yeah, because the shareholders can do one thing or say one thing or plan one thing. By the end of the day, dividend payout ratio, that's a policy that will be adopted by MergeCo.
Okay. A couple of follow-up questions on cash holdings. Will the deconsolidation of Celcom result in material change in Axiata's cash holding?
Vivek, answer that. 7.2 minus 1.4. So that's 5.8.
Yes. Okay. And indication of post-merger capex investment plan.
So if I may, I mean, I don't think...
We lost Vivek.
Vivek, we lost you. Maybe we'll try and address the other questions.
Okay.
Rating agencies. Yes, we have. What the rating agencies, Claire, you were on the call just now, but I believe they will, because it's a bit premature to make any comments on the impact of this transaction. Of course, they will be looking at the future cash flows of Axiata. But again, I look at it as what would the merge co bring in terms of dividend payout for the 33% ownership that we have, as opposed to 100% from what Celcom has. And again, this is about the future of the business and not so much about what will happen this year or next year. So those are currently that's a work in progress that we will engage with the rating agencies.
Yeah. I think perhaps to, you know, sort of elaborate a little bit more, as Dato said, we did engage with three rating agencies earlier this afternoon. And basically, what we're saying here is, you know, the philosophy in terms of dividend for Telenor and Axiata is pretty much aligned. Remember, last year we talked about our new investor proposition, and as Dato mentioned earlier, the target to hit more than 20 cents DPS by 2024 is still intact post-merger. Mm. And similarly, as you would have seen, that philosophy of Telenor, where DG in the past has pretty much paid out 100% DPR every year with quarterly dividends. So in that sense, despite deconsolidation of Celcom, the philosophy there we feel for both parent companies are similar.
Good.
Okay. Another question on regulators. Has there been discussions with regulators with regards to the more than 40% market share issue?
Yes, this is a point that, as I've said just now, in past engagements with the regulator, we talked about the potential consolidation in the market. Now, in terms of the market share, I think we need to look at it as a global phenomenon and not just a local phenomenon, meaning when we look at market share, we should look at OTTs as well. Because if by the time you add in the market share of the OTTs, even the combined share of the merged co will be something less than 20%. Yeah, because you think about it, WeChat, Facebook, WhatsApp, they certainly, it's not about just mobile, traditional mobile business. So this is a argument that we've been articulating to the regulator in past engagement. So we believe that if we adopt that analysis, market share is not an issue. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a big issue. It is an issue, but we need to address it. Yeah. Vivek's now on the line.
I'm sorry. Vivek, I mean, just to be clear, I'm not on Celcom network. I'm actually stuck in India. So don't be under the impression that the network issue is because I'm on Celcom network, right? Just to be clear. So let me on the CapEx, unless Dato, you completed that answer or should I?
No, CapEx, no, not yet.
Okay, no, I think we spend the billion and, the DG spend around 700 million CapEx. So combined 1.7 CapEx is what we spend. I think we will have to look at the synergy process. But I would guess there would be substantial reduction in the CapEx, given that a lot of these surplus equipments, which will come out of the consolidation of the network, would be available for redeployment in going forward into the capacity requirement of the business. But we'll come back with the actual guidance on the CapEx once we've completed the synergy work.
Okay.
Vivek, they've asked the book value of Celcom as of 2020 in Axiata.
It's around 5 billion. Plus, there would be a goodwill of around 4 billion. So that's the cost of investment plus the goodwill.
Okay. Let's move back to the questions online. We have Ranjan from JP Morgan again. Ranjan, you want to unmute your line? Thanks.
Sure. Just a housekeeping point. So just doing very rough back of the envelope calculation, it feels like Digi will have to create like 3.6 billion new shares and issue like 3.8 billion shares to Axiata, is that a correct understanding? And this also implies that Digi will have to buy some shares back from current shareholders. Am I getting something wrong here, or is that a fair understanding?
That's not bad. That's quite good, actually, Ranjan.
All right. Just one follow-up again. So the premium that I'm calculating of Digi over Celcom is around 70-80% again.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You have to add in the 2 billion cash.
Yeah. All right. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We next have Prem from Macquarie on the line. Prem, do you want to unmute your line?
Hi, Prem.
Hi, Dato. I've got a simple question for you this time. You know, considering that Digi and Celcom have been working together on network rollout over the last, I can't remember, 5 years, 7 years, does that mean that the pain period of the merger could be reduced substantially? You know, I'm assuming that there are a lot of your cell sites which are co-located on the same towers. You're potentially using a lot of service providers and backhaul fiber, etc., in pretty much the same locations. Therefore, you should have less pain as opposed to having two disparate networks coming together.
My short answer is yes. You know, I expect less, but you know how these things work. We really need to be careful with the network architecture and planning. We have to think about you know, the data traffic, and as we all know, data traffic has changed. So there's a lot of moving parts or factors that we need to take into consideration. But the short answer is yeah. You're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right, Prem. I mean, we do share fiber. We do share towers, so yep. Relatively easy. It's more about antennas to be removed and you know, used elsewhere. So it'll be much faster. But I think what would be important as part of the integration plan is to set up the grid, the network topography, which will actually determine how efficiently and fast this can be executed.
Yes. And maybe it helps the fact, I believe Digi was also about to embark on a network upgrade program of some sort. So that may help. And does this also change your vendor choice going forward?
Actually, it would be quite good because as Vivek mentioned just now, we've always been, well, I wouldn't say wary, but we just need to make sure that the vendors for our opcos, not just Celcom, we need to make sure that there is no disruption in supply, given that Digi is ZTE and Celcom is predominantly Huawei and Ericsson. That bodes quite well, actually, for the combined network. But it's something we need to plan ahead. And then let's not forget, it's Ericsson that's managing the network for Digi. So there's a lot of common sort of, parties in this particular exercise.
Yeah. And sorry, I'm going to be cheeky here. Would you be willing to share what percentage of the towers / and maybe fiber that you guys actually share with Digi at this point in time?
I don't have that number to share, unfortunately. I can get back to you on that one. But again, this is something that the team needs to work out, you know, to make sure that the network architecture is optimized. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Bram.
Thanks. Let's move on. Next, we have Kathy from Sun Life. Please ask your question.
She had a question just now about Celcom's rating.
Thank you for the presentation. Yeah, I think because both Celcom networks and DG have ringgit sukuk outstanding, so yeah. Will Celcom networks be getting a new local rating of the merge co, or any indication it will remain status quo or getting an upgrade?
No, so Kathy, I mean, maybe Dato, I can take this. I mean, we had a call with our rating agency, which has rated the Celcom sukuk. Just before this one, And then obviously the Sukuk will move into the merge core. So the merge core will have to be rated as a separate entity. But having said that, I think the rating of DG is one notch higher than the rating of Celcom, and we don't see much of an adverse impact from a rating standpoint after this transaction between Celcom and Sukuk moving there. So if any, it should benefit from a much better rating of the merge core. But that's, I think, we can establish only after there's been detailed sharing of information with the rating agency. At this stage, it's just information to them on what is the current status, and then once we present all the business plans, etc., of the merge core in future, that's when we will have to relook at it.
Thank you.
Perhaps to follow up on Kathy's also question, also there was a question on the chat, which is what about the credit rating for Celcom Networks in Dian Berhad? Basically, the current rating now is AA+ by Mark. Okay.
There's a chat. There's a question from PNB.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to read the question?
Yeah. So basically, the question is, given Axiata's aspiration to become high dividend company, how do you think is this achievable given Axiata's opco post-merger are in growth markets, which I do expect require relatively high capex vis-a-vis Celcom?
You want to take that one?
I mean, I think we don't see any negative impact on the cash flows from the merge co versus what was in Celcom. We do not control, Axiata does not control Celcom going forward, but I think philosophically both companies, both major shareholders have a same view on the dividend policy or dividend strategy, right? So we don't see cash flows, if any, would improve with the synergies getting factored into the future cash generation, specifically if the capex is going to come down substantially after the merger. So I don't see that as an issue. Having said that, I think if you look at us, we have two growth markets. One is Indonesia and second is Bangladesh. These two growth markets are fairly standalone and they do not contribute much on dividend anyways at this point in time. So I think the intention would be if they have to be invested and grown, they would pretty much standalone be able to have their own funding capabilities, and we will not be depending on them that high significantly on dividend. However, the existing operations, which is basically Nepal, Sri Lanka, and Cambodia, would continue to be strong dividend companies in addition to what Celcom will be able to give, or the merged company will be able to give.
I think in a sense, if I can add to that, we believe that with this merger, the 33% will provide the stable income better than what we have today because of the synergies that we can generate. At the same time, because we look at the past track record, which Claire has sort of mentioned just now about Telenor's policy of 100% DPR, I think that's one, one of the reasons why Vivek is smiling. He doesn't have to worry. He's got our joint venture, our equal partner who will be making sure that MergeCo will pay the dividends that we expect. Now, at the same time, I think the more important or pertinent question, I believe, is the profile, if you like, of the shareholders of MergeCo as opposed to Axiata. If you're a shareholder of Axiata, you'll get growth from the growth markets that Vivek mentioned, Bangladesh and Indonesia. At the same time, we aspire to be able to pay the dividend flow that shareholders expect. So hopefully, the growth will provide that impetus to the capital sort of gains from an appreciation share price point of view. Yeah. Whereas, if you look at the Malaysian merged corporations, because of the mature nature of the industry, it'll probably be generate more stable dividend flows as opposed to, compared to, relative to Axiata. Axiata should have or could have both dividend flow as well as capital appreciation. I hope that answers the question, Izzuddin.
Yeah. Okay, it looks like we have one last question. Basically, the question is, does the merger impact the collaborative agreement with Maxis to share and jointly develop fiber?
As of this morning, that's a very good question, very good observation of the past efforts we've tried. We've been working with Maxis. As of this morning, Celcom had to, I wouldn't say terminate yet formally, but we have to put everything on the discussions that we had with Maxis on hold. Yeah, because of obvious that it's something that that we need to, if you like, recalibrate or reconfigure and decide together with DG as to how we want to move this forward. Yeah, but suffice to say, I don't know, there's many, there could be another possibility is that the merged co could decide to, you know, reinitiate the discussions with Maxis because it's a fiber infrastructure network, yeah, which we ought to share rather than to try to, invest single-handedly.
I don't think we've had those discussions after this announcement, but I think the belief is there's only to gain. There is nothing to lose, right? It's the ultimate question is how do you share the benefit of that, which is more a commercial discussion. But there's obviously still an advantage of moving ahead with that, right?
No, I was just saying that, the Celcom CEO, Idham, made a call to Maxis this morning to just put everything on hold for a while. Yes, we haven't had a detailed discussion on the commercial arrangements and benefits, but you're right. I agree with you, Vivek, that there's only upside from the collaboration.
Apologies. One last question from the chat room. Would Celcom Network and DG's outstanding debt be novated to MergeCo?
So it's Celcom's network?
Celcom Network, Sundaram-Bernard.
Uh-huh.
And DG's outstanding debt be novated to MergeCo?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
It would be.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Zixian. I hope I pronounced the name correctly.
Okay, yes, thank you for clarification. Okay, so that's all the questions we have today. Dato, would you like to have any closing remarks?
Yeah, sure. As I've said, this is a move in line with our Axiata 5.0 strategy. We believe the decision to merge the businesses will all go well for and future-proof the business of Celcom and DG in years to come. There's a lot of synergies that we believe can be derived from this exercise. Of course, this is the beginning in the entire merger process. First, the announcement of non-binding term sheet, then we will have the definitive agreements, due diligence, and so on. But we are hopeful to be able to close, in the shortest time possible because I'm always mindful of the market share and what the competition will do in a merger exercise. Yeah, we don't want to lose the market share that we already have. And we don't want to lose the people that we have as well. So there are many aspects of this exercise that the team needs to work on. And I'm meeting the two CEOs actually tomorrow to map out the game plan, as it were, to make sure there's business as usual, there's due diligence process that needs to happen, and the plan for the merger integration, the business plan and so on. So pretty exciting times. We will keep you all posted in our quarterly sessions. And if there's a need to call for a session separately, we will do that. But thank you. And we'll see you around. Thank you. And have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.